This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Getting another week started, I wanted to talk to one of the Republican candidates for governor, Daniel Bethel, a current Marion County Commissioner, joining us this afternoon. Thanks for being on.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting.
So here we are with a few weeks before the ballots go out. This is kind of the time you start to see increased ramp up in political races across the board, whether it's hometown races or statewide, things like that. A lot of people running for governor on the GOP side, really mainly four of you that are more well-known. How do you feel like it's going right now for your campaign?
I think the grassroots side of my campaign is really robust. I just was in Lincoln County over the weekend and spoke to a room of about 75 individuals, and I walked in feeling like I needed to earn their vote, and I can tell you I walked out substantially doing so, with a line of them saying, hey, we were going to vote for this person, but now we're coming for you. You know, the more I can be in front of people, the more I can persuade them to understand the basic civics of government, the difference between the legislative branch, the executive branch, and who does what. And that seems to resonate with Oregonians.
With all the people that are running, it would kind of seem to indicate there's a lot of interest in getting somebody else in place, yet a lot of polling indicates that whoever comes out of the GOP primary is going to have an uphill battle come November. What's your assessment?
For me, I'm excited about that. I think we will have an uphill battle if we nominate another legislator out of the primary to walk into a race with Governor Kotek. But if you end up nominating me, I'm going to be able to walk into that race through November, holding her accountable, because I'm a service provider. As a county commissioner, my job is to serve Oregonians, and I'm going to be able to come at her differently from the real-life delivery perspective as to why Oregon is failing, with real context and depth, versus just talking about the political warfare that legislators will do.
So how important do you think that is, being outside of Salem? Well, I mean, you're in Marion County as a commissioner, but outside of state government right now, why do you feel that's so important in this race?
Well, because for the last 25, 30 years, we've only elected legislators to the governor's office, and Oregonians are starting to see and really feel the impact and the failures of that. You know, every time you hire somebody for a job, you would hope that they have some experience and qualified skill set in that particular job to deliver on its performance. And we just have, as Oregonians, in my opinion, been too lazy and assumed that because somebody qualified and got elected to the legislature, they have some foundation of skills of running a government. And now people are saying, hey, this isn't working for me, on all walks of life, all thresholds of income, regardless of party. People are suffering, and we're looking for something new. And I believe that newness is really comes down to the foundation of skills and delivery of service. And I want to be able to promote that to Oregonians, to say, hey, I'm doing this well now, serving across all these levels of crisis. I can do it statewide if you give me the opportunity.
Oregon, historically, going back a few decades, had more Republican governors for a long period of time than Democrats. It was not one party or the other, but you had the Tom McCalls, you had the Mark Hatfields, you had the Vicatias, but Vicatia was the last one. And for a lot of people, unless you are headed towards retirement, you have lived your entire adult life in Oregon with only a Democratic governor. What do you think that says to voters?
Well, I think it shows that voters are apathetic to showing up for themselves and doing what's one of their most fundamental civic duties in filing their ballot. When we really applied the mail-in voter system, so folks just got lazy about it. They, you know, it shows up in the mail, it sits on the counter for a couple of weeks, and then, oh, shoot, the deadline passed. And a lot of people, I would say, on the right are overwhelmed with running a business or working for a small business owner that keeps them longer than the other, you know, large corporation. And our lives just look a little different. We also have less of an engine or machine on the right, you know, on the GOP side of politics in Oregon. And I think they've been far too distracted, and I beg to say that they've been focusing on the wrong things. And those individuals in this state that would vote for someone like me are sitting on the sidelines, frustrated with what leadership looks like, I think, from all aisles of politics in Oregon. But we just have to show up and vote and stop saying whatever the excuse is to not turn in the ballot. We need to turn in our ballots this year.
It seems like there have been times in the past few decades where from the GOP side, there was a lot of divisiveness within the party. You had conservatives and then more conservatives, and you had folks that were more to the moderate. And a lot of times they seemed to spend more time going after each other than trying to put forth something that would help them win over the other party.
Yeah, that's still the case today, unfortunately. We have these levels of partisanship on the GOP side where actually this interview that I did with you a few months ago was clipped and reeled by a woman who considers herself a far right conservative on the east side of the state. And I think the question you asked me was, where do I fall on the ideological scale? And I said, I consider myself a moderate, more right of center than far right. And, you know, she was attacking me on that as if it was some negative for me to stand out there and say, I want balance. I have my conservative values that I live through my own virtues and morals, but I don't need to impose that on other people. And the infighting that's happening still today in statewide politics is just, it's so noisy, and it's not inspiring is what it's not. And I'm working to break through that ceiling and to show people what real leadership looks like and to be able to stand on the values that I possess as a conservative.
So as you look at your campaign right now, this is where where finances really make a big difference. How are you doing there?
Yeah, so I'm not doing too great on the finance side of things, especially in comparison to two of my opponents who have received $1 million donations. But I've been able to deploy my plan thus far. We need to come up with some money in the next couple of weeks to really perform the get out the vote aspect, which really matters, of course. But I have qualified for the statewide debates. I'll be participating in the Oregon Republican Party debate on April 16th, and I just received notice that I'll be on a cable news debate, which will help because I don't have the resources that I think others would expect to win a race. But I also believe Oregonians at this point are looking for a real grassroots, authentic candidate, and there's momentum there for me, and it's working county by county.
The incumbent governor, whether people like her or not, has been in Oregon politics for quite a while, has got a well-known name. How well do people know your name in other parts of the state outside of Marion County?
Well, if we're comparing me to her, I would say not as well. But that's why it matters that I win this primary, because come May 20th, winning this primary, my name will sail through the communication wavelengths and people will start leaning in and paying attention. And the more I get on a stage with her and show up in a space with her and hold her accountable for her failures across all promises that she gave to Oregonians, I will resonate with Oregonians across all sectors. I promise that.
And of course, one of the things that may impact Oregon's race is on the national level. We'll be in the midterms. It's more of an issue in the fall. But yet at the same time, that increases voter interest, but sometimes tends to favor the party out of power nationally. You think that's going to make a difference in Oregon?
I think it always makes a difference when we have, you know, an opposing party to the sitting governor here in Oregon. But I do believe that Oregonians right now are looking for foundational change in leadership. And again, if we can get a candidate like me who stands out amongst Oregonians as a common person, an average Oregonian, that can speak against the current rhetoric of both state leadership and federal leadership. You know, I voted for Donald Trump and for the outcomes he promised, but there are things I'm frustrated by, and I'm willing to stand on a stage and talk about that. and work towards real foundational partnership that we need here in Oregon, especially for vulnerable Oregonians. We need to have a relationship with the president. Right now, we don't have one. And I'm not a Republican candidate that's going to stand anywhere and say someone's perfect when they're not. They're falling short. The president's falling short on some things here in our state and nationally. And I, you know, can compete with the best in that space, including the governor herself, who I believe has only been adversarial to the president in farming Oregonian even further.
Now, as you go through this, if you were to be the nominee and if you were to win in November, what would be your first month of action like in Salem if you were elected governor?
Well, we're going to be coming into the long legislative session, so I'm going to be focusing fundamentally on the cost of government overall. We have too much cost, too much waste, and very few outcomes for what Oregonians are paying. Our economy is suffering because of it. The agencies need to be held accountable. Local governments need to be inspired to perform. And while it's going to be an uphill climb, I'm going to come into that first month in January 2027 with real thoughtful planning around all the agencies and reducing their scope and reducing their costs and delivering a governor's recommended budget to the legislature that shows we can live within our means and still serve Oregonians affordably and be able to reduce taxes overall, because that grab that we see them taking year after year is just too much for Oregonians to survive.
I don't know, I have the number in front of me, but over the last 10 years, the cost of government in Oregon has increased at a rate that seems to be a lot higher than most people's wages and other expenses have gone up. How do you, what do you do there to make any changes?
Well, I mean, by reducing the size of the agencies and making them live within their scope, meaning their statutory mission, will reduce cost overall. I'll use one agency as an example. The Oregon Health Authority does a bunch of tax collecting. They're given a bunch of money from the legislature for over 6,000 positions that are unneeded. County governments are the local mental health and public health authority. Those services that the Oregon Health Authority right now is pretending to perform should be done at the local level. We don't need that many employees in a state agency to tell people at the local community what to do. We already know what to do down here. As a sitting county commissioner, I know what my job is. I know what the law says my job is. I just need the tools to do my job, and I need the state to get out of my way. That's one of the agencies that I'm going to take a real hard swing at to reduce the size of and to make it accountable to taxpayers. And by reducing some of those positions, but also just reducing the duplication of service that they do at the state level that we already do at the county level, will reduce cost overall and reduce that increase that you referred to. And that's the same scenario for multiple state agencies in Oregon. They have so much duplication of service. They have too much overreach and regulation. And by rolling a lot of that back, we can reduce costs.
During the time you've been a Marion County Commissioner, what have you learned that you think would help you if you were governor?
Well, I've learned the fundamentals of running a large government. Marion County is not a small government in Oregon, and I've been able to sit, I kind of make the description like I'm standing on Earth looking at the moon, and the moon is the state agencies, going, why can't I connect with you? Why does this partnership not exist? And constantly feeling like I'm fighting against politicians and bureaucrats at the state level that prevent me from performing to my best ability as a county commissioner. I've had to become very creative and wise in how we apply our resources, either through local resourcing or through federal partnership that bypasses the state government, to, you know, tackle things like homelessness and mental health and addiction. A bulk of the work that we do doesn't even engage the state because of their bad policies, their poor performance, and their ideological drive and how they design systems. I can just reach into each agency now because I stand underneath it and look up and go, well, that needs to be fixed, or that could be enhanced, or that should just go away altogether, and Oregon would be better for it.
Being right there in Salem right now, what's your assessment of the Oregon Department of Transportation?
Well, I think the Oregon Department of Transportation, on purpose, through the leadership of the governor, has reached outside its statutory mission and is doing much more than roads and bridges, and it needs to reduce its size overall. It needs to start partnering with cities and counties to perform its overall function. And frankly, they should be performing on the projects that they promised Oregonians, not just from the 2017 tax package, but from previous to that, when they said that they would work on stabilizing other, like, rural and frontier community highways and byways and bridges. They have chosen a path of, I would say, destruction by continuing to enhance a project instead of complete this project as delivered in its original scope. And we need to hold them accountable for that. They don't need more taxes. They need prioritization and accountability to perform.
And are there other agencies in particular that you would be taking the hardest look at?
Department of Human Services is one. The Department of Environmental Qualities is one. Yeah, I mean, I can talk about the Oregon Board of Forestry, Department of Fish and Wildlife. Every single agency really needs a hard look, but there's about a dozen that stand out to me that are costing Oregonians a lot of money because of regulation and overreach or ideological policymaking from Governor Brown and Governor Kotek. We've got agencies that are harming kids and ignoring families. The Oregon Department of Education is definitely in the top three that needs to be reformed entirely so we can produce real thoughtful thinkers that can graduate with real comprehensive education to succeed in life. The Higher Education Coordinating Commission, which is supposed to be a workforce development organization, needs to be reformed and prioritized if it exists at all after I become the governor. There's just, you know, with over 80 agencies in the state, and a lot of people don't know what they all do, but I can tell you a lot of them are not performing, and they need to be performing, or why do they exist, if I'm being honest?
Now, as a Marion County Commissioner, I think one of the last times we talked, you talked about the proximity you have there at the Marion County Courthouse to the legislature, which gives you a really close eye to watch what's going on.
Yeah, I'm literally two blocks from the front steps of the Capitol and have the opportunity to see all the noise and disarray that occurs at the Capitol right out my office window as a county commissioner. And all that in proximity, I still don't have afforded to me as an elected official in the fifth largest economy to have a viable partnership with the governor or even the leadership systems in the legislature, because all they do is focus on their own priorities and agendas and leave everybody else behind. And I'm done with that. I don't believe I deserve that as an Oregonian, as a taxpayer, or an elected official, which is why I'm running for governor, to give voice to Oregonians statewide and to fight for local control and affordability in this state.
Talk about your journey to being Marion County Commissioner, because a few years ago, it didn't sound like you necessarily had as much interest in politics at all.
There's a real person in the life that has interest in politics in Oregon, they should get their brain checked. It's the most volatile place to be. I actually made the decision to run for office the first time in 2018 in October, when I was a really frustrated parent because there were things happening in my children's schools that I was frustrated by and did not have a seat at the table for. And reached out to all the people you're supposed to reach out to, and finally my school board representative, who essentially told me on the phone that he couldn't do anything for me because it's just how the system is designed. And I find it woefully inadequate for any elected official to just dismiss somebody in their community that they're elected to serve by saying the system serves itself. I believe systems are here to serve people, and if they don't serve people, then those systems shouldn't exist. I let him know on the phone that I'd be running against him in the next spring for the school board, which I did, and I beat him and served just over 3.5 years on the Salem-Keizer school board before I met my lifelong dream of purchasing property outside the district, which required me to resign from that position. But I learned in that period of time the overreach the Oregon Department of Education and the governor herself has in local communities and schools, and found it to be very frustrating. But the way I handled myself on the school board, the way I asked questions and just tried to be present, caught the eye of business owners and some other local electeds in my community who ultimately all reached out as a group and asked me if I'd consider running for commissioner.
Now, with your business background, how do you feel like that helps you? And also, what would you do to try to attract more business to stay in Oregon?
Yeah, so I've owned a business of sorts, one or the other, for a very long time. I owned my own company before I became a commissioner for 12 years, and my husband and I together own a plumbing company, a small, very small plumbing company in Marion County. And I believe it provides me an advantage because I'm feeling the same pressures as every other business owner in Oregon, the overregulation, the lack of security, and the fact that I'm trying to pay for other people's meals on their table through employing individuals and supporting their families, and just the lack of surety that my business will be able to succeed. Well, yeah, we do have a shortage in the trades in this state. Every single day, we're facing some kind of a regulation barrier, whether it's a permitting issue in some community or the cost of some kind of a fitting or outfit because some regulation the state came up with says it's now required, to just simply the cost of being able to hire people, the cost of minimum wage, the cost of having to file for, you know, them to have retirement benefits or paid leave Oregon, which really puts us on the back foot if one of our employees has to take time off for extended period of time. There's just this a burden. And then on top of that, we have all these taxes that they keep grabbing, like the corporate activities tax, which has increased costs for us 30% since it's taken effect. And we have to pass that on to our customers who are already struggling to be able to survive and turn the water on at their faucet.
Daniel Bethel, a candidate for governor in the Republican Party, just about ready to wrap up. What would be the first, your very top priority if you're elected?
My very top priority if I'm elected is to focus on hearing Oregonians and delivering for them and not focusing on the politics of the system that drives the failure of this state.
And if people want to find out more about your campaign and learn more about you, how do they get connected?
You can find me at DanielleBethelForGovernor.com or on any of the social channels.
All right. Marion County Commissioner Daniel Bethel running for governor. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.